So who's dedicated? Logan was dedicated. His parents dedicated him. So they are dedicated. And we supported them at a dedication. So we are dedicated. Who's dedicated? It's really kind of a weird word, dedication. Dedication could be something done to you. It could be something that you do or something that you go to. And all of these forms of dedication are related. Logan was just dedicated. It was done to him. We just dedicated ourselves to something good and important. And we were just at a dedication. That's dedication. Well done. Well done. It takes dedication to raise babies because we love them, they're cute, but they do nasty things. It takes dedication to love them when they throw up on your new shirt. It takes dedication to love them when they wake up screaming and all you want to do is sleep. It takes dedication when they put all the food on the ground instead of in their mouth. And this is a fact. Kids cost money and wreck your stuff. Dedication means, I got an amen. And an oh yeah? Dedication means devotion. And it means cost. And dedication means decision. Now, to get good at something, really, really good at something, it takes dedication. Common estimates, you probably heard this say, it takes 10,000 hours or repetitions of doing something to master it, to get really, really great at it. It takes dedication. That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of days. That's 417 days. That's a lot of basketball throws, right? A lot of slap shots. That's a lot of parenting. It's a lot of work. It takes dedication and time to master something. It takes dedication to break a habit. It takes dedication to start a new good habit. Now, we know habits are routine behaviors that we almost do automatically without thinking or considering what happens. Before you know it, you've lit that cigarette or you've poured that cup of coffee or the word is spoken without thinking about it. That's a habit. And if you want to master your habits instead of getting mastered by them, it takes dedication. It takes dedication to move against the grain, to go against the flow, to live your life in a way that reflects your values. That all takes dedication. If you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, it takes dedication. It takes breaking old habits and forming new habits to move beyond being a person who likes the idea of faith to being a person who is transformed and is changed and filled with life by their faith. That takes commitment. It takes dedication. It takes dedication. If you believe in something, if you are passionate about it, you will be dedicated. And Logan, like Ruby 2 weeks ago, like their grandparents and their parents, they were dedicated. Dedicated to something important. And as we heard earlier, Jesus was also dedicated. It was a big deal. We read about this in Luke chapter 2, where Jesus' parents, their proud parents, take their new baby to the temple to be dedicated when he was just 8 days old. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. "8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angels even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification. as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jesus was dedicated. There was a decision made, and he was dedicated. Dedication is a decision. But what was he dedicated to? What did it mean for his parents? And what in the end does it mean for us that Jesus was dedicated? You know, the biblical concept of dedication is a bit broad. It has a lot of possible meanings and a lot of implications, and it's difficult to translate into English. And we can see this reflected in our English Bibles. Almost every English translation translates the original Greek a bit differently here. So we just read the NLT, and it says this, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. He must be dedicated. Okay, got it. We can handle that one. The NIV is a bit different. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. He must be consecrated. That's a bit different. The King James says this, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Different again, called holy to the Lord. The New Revised Standard Version says this, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. This time he shall be designated as holy to the Lord. They're all a bit different, but they're all talking about the same thing. And I think we can understand this by just interacting with the English word dedicated. You can get dedicated, you can go to a dedication, you can be dedicated to something. And in this case, it's God's calling, dedicated to the Lord. So Jesus is being set aside. He's being identified for God's work. He's being marked for a special purpose and selected for sacred purposes. And we almost need a translation that says all those things like this. If a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated, consecrated, called, and designated holy to the Lord. It's all that. Jesus' parents were dedicated. They were a big part of this dedication. They presented him at the temple. They followed the angel's instructions. They had him circumcised. They raised him up in God's ways. They were dedicated to what God was doing and being part of it. Now, just before our scripture today, immediately before this, just the verse before, it's the Christmas story. Remember that thing, Christmas? Just a little while ago? Shepherds are visiting the baby Jesus, and after they'd just seen this army of angels declaring what had happened, these shepherds went to Bethlehem to see what had happened, and they saw the Messiah, baby Jesus, was there, who was obviously called out and special and consecrated and designated and dedicated to something that no one else can do. They find Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger. So the shepherds tell Mary and Joseph what they'd heard, that these angels had visited them, and they say all these things about this baby, that there would be changes to the world. And all of this is declared in the Gospel of Luke so that we see it, so that we notice it. That can't be missed. Luke is revealing to us and to the early readers who baby Jesus is. He is set aside. He is called to sacred purposes. He is the one who's been waited for. So Joseph and Mary go to Jerusalem in obedience on the eighth day after he was born, and they do all the things that the angel Gabriel told them to do. They don't even choose their baby's name. How would you like that? The baby's name was chosen for them. They name him Jesus as they were instructed. That's dedication. So they name him Jesus, take him to Jerusalem for the dedication, have him circumcised on the eighth day. They make an offering of 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. I think that's kind of funny. Turtle doves and pigeons? First of all, what's a turtle dove? I mean, is it dove with a shell? I have no idea what they are. And they sound kind of cute. But what and who and what for? A pair of turtle doves were offered, or pigeons, in accordance to Levitical law. Leviticus 12:8 tells us about this. And I have to say, in my summary of the sermon, I need to take responsibility. I led Pastor Carly astray. So you're going to see that in a bit. A bit of a difference in what she says. My fault, okay? Because this is a bit tricky. The offering was an offering of ritual purity for mothers who had just given birth. This was an offering for Mary, not for Jesus. There's a bit about Levitical law. There's this whole set of purity laws around when boundaries are passed or crossed. They had all these things that you had to do around boundaries. It was a really important thing, like between one group of animal or another, or between the boundary of life to death, that's another one, or the boundary of new life and birth, that's crossing a major boundary. So there were these things that you did when boundaries were crossed. So they were to offer a sacrifice and for the mother on the eighth day when this boundary was crossed. It was for her purification, ritual purification. And they are too poor to offer a lamb, so they offer a pigeon or turtle dove, which I guess anyone can get those. If you can't buy them, I guess you catch them. I don't know. Turtle doves are slow. But this is why it's so important that we read this right. There was no sacrifice made for Jesus. Yeah, that was pretty funny. There was no sacrifice made for Jesus. The sacrifice was not for him or about him. He was presented. He was consecrated and dedicated and declared holy to the Lord, but no sacrifice was offered for him. And according to the law, which Joseph and Mary were observing perfectly, all firstborn sons were to be dedicated to priestly service. All firstborn males were designated priests. But most people didn't want this. Most people didn't want their sons to be priests. They wanted their sons to work in the local business, to work on the farm, or play in the big league. Who knows what they wanted them to do. When a firstborn son was dedicated, the parents would make an offering, and that offering would opt the boy out of the priesthood. They were to offer 5 shekels. And this is how the priesthood was supported. There was this buyback program. Whenever you had a boy, you had to buy him out of the priesthood. Otherwise, he was automatically into the priesthood. It's kind of how Rogers does their billing, right? And they had to pay 5 shekels to get him out. And that's, with inflation and all that stuff today, it's probably $200. It's kind of hard to figure out exactly how much that was. No payment was made for Jesus. He was not opted out of the priesthood. He was fully dedicated. He was dedicated as a priest, like a priest. That offering was for Mary. Two important people in this story that did not miss these details. Their names were Anna and Simeon. They were in the temple with Jesus when he was dedicated. They were waiting. They'd been waiting for a long time, and both were very, very old. Simeon was known as a man of God, righteous and devout. He was dedicated. And Anna was a prophet. She prayed day and night. She was a prayer warrior. Well, Simeon had been waiting basically his whole life for this dedication because a promise had been given to him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So he's an old man at this point, and he's waiting and waiting to see the Messiah. He's ancient. And he recognized Jesus immediately. Interestingly enough, the name Simeon, you know what it means? It means God receiver. So Simeon took this guy, this baby, in his arms and held him out and received Jesus and declared this, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." He had just received God in the form of a child. That's who this is. Luke declares this. And then Anna also, who's in the temple, she lives there. She's very old, praying day and night. And she's a widow. She's lived there for scores of years. She was also very dedicated. She had a good prayer ministry. At that very moment that Simeon was blessing Jesus, she came up and began praying and giving thanks. And she said, Luke 2:28, she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Because she knew this was the Savior. He was the Messiah. This was a big reveal. This is like an epiphany. And there is no doubt that Jesus grew up and lived into this dedication. He lived into all that had been expected and hoped for. He lived into the cost and the pain of his calling. This is what Jesus declared when he was growing up. He went to the temple to reveal who he was to all who were listening. It says this in Luke 4:18-20. That's what Jesus said. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come." And then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Mic drop, right? Boom, have the scroll. I'm the guy. That's what God is like. That's what he says. This is what I'm dedicated to. Good news to the poor. Freedom to the captives. Healing wounds. Breaking oppression. I am the one. That was the beginning of his ministry. And his whole ministry, he did that. He focused on the needy, the poor, the hurting, the oppressed, and taught that this is what the kingdom of God is like. And it turns out those with lots to lose didn't like the sounds of this too much. They didn't like it. It's too much, too hard. You want to be part of this kingdom? You want to follow me? You want to do this? Give it up. You've got to give it up and leave it behind and make me first. Above all, love God and love others. You must be dedicated. Kind of an awkward silence in the room after that. A lot of people walked away. Too much dedication. But he put out a call to his disciples to a new way, to a better way, a way that transforms each of us and makes us better, and a way that transforms the world. So much so that the early Christian followers were known as followers of the way. It was called the way. And it's a way that takes dedication. This is the type of dedication he's asking for. It's not a thing, it's not a ceremony, it's a way. It's a way that takes dedication and determination. It's a way that costs something but has huge payback. It's a way that changes and transforms and heals. It's a way of dedication. I think back to what happened to Jesus as a baby at the temple. He was dedicated, consecrated to be set apart as holy to the Lord. And you and I who want to be part of the way, we are also set apart and consecrated and dedicated. This is what it says about us, God's people, his church, in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That means that we have been called out, set aside as sacred. We have been dedicated. But we also must be dedicated. Dedication is a decision. It's something you do. I think for many of us, the setting apart can be like a setting aside. And that the dedication is only something that happens to us, not something that's required of us. Being set apart isn't about getting out of the game, sitting on the side, watching it happen. Being set apart is being dedicated to all that God is calling you and us to do. Being dedicated is also a decision. It's about being passionately committed. It's about the dedication of learning a new skill when you practice and practice 10,000 times until you've mastered it. It's the part that means breaking old habits and forming new ones. That's being dedicated to the way. Who's dedicated? Because dedication is also a decision. With baby Jesus, the decision started with God and somehow with the Trinity, with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, with Himself. That being dedicated to creation would mean the sending of Himself, the Son. He decided to be dedicated even when He didn't want to. And if you take the humanity of Jesus seriously along with His divinity, you know that there were some things He did not want to do. We look to Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if You are willing, please take this cup away from Me. Yet, not Your will, not My will, but Yours be done. He was dedicated. Dedication is a decision. Who's dedicated? Dedication means that today in Kelowna, here and now, in our church, in our neighborhood, in our families, in our sports teams, in your chess club, in your aqua-sized class, all those things that I do, it means whatever it is you do it knowing that your first call is to love God and love others. That is dedication. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a famous Christian thinker and said this: Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. Pretty strong words. I mean, he took dedication seriously. This is what he means. Christianity without disciples, Christianity without dedication is simply a concept. It's not following. It's not the way of the early disciples. Jesus calls us to follow, not agree and nod our heads and go on like we were before. Jesus calls us to be dedicated. And He can't impact the world just by believing that it's a good idea to impact the world. Dedication is a decision. Sometimes it's hard to be dedicated. I get it. It's hard to be dedicated because sometimes the things we're called to be dedicated to come at a present cost for a future payback. I mean, if we are to really struggle with this idea of dedication for us in the here and now, there are some things that I think we really do struggle with being dedicated around. Family, money, and time. Ooh, you want to get into a fight with someone? Talk about those three things. That's a good way to pick a fight. I don't want to do that today. You know, I'm really trying to grow in these areas, and one especially is time, how I spend my time, how I'm dedicated with my time, my life rhythms and daily habits. I want to give my time. I want to do things that have meaning, that change me, that make me more and more the person God has called me to be. I want to be dedicated. So, I downloaded the TikTok app. I was away for the Baptist board meetings with an emphasis on board. And at the end of the day, after after a long meetings, I thought, I have some time to do some reflection and some reading and some things that really fill me up. But first I want to see what this TikTok thing's all about. My kids have sent me TikToks before, and I thought they were pretty good. So I started watching TikToks at 7 o'clock p.m. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there are these short video clips that are 15 seconds long, up to 15 seconds long, and you just, if you're on your phone, you just, if you don't like it, you just flip to the next one, and they're all random order. And I thought, the first one was pretty good. Let's see what's next. I like the next one. Didn't like that one, but I like the next one. Didn't like that one. Like the next one. What's next? I'm so curious. I keep flipping through these TikToks. And I realized that I must have been there for a long time because I started developing a kink in my neck and my legs were falling asleep. And I shook my head. It was like I woke up from this hypnotic trance. I was like, what have I just done with this time? I'd entered a time warp. That was not my finest hours. That night, I deleted my TikTok app. And I warn you, if you have it, you should delete it. Now, the thing is, we think self-care is easy like a TikTok. Just zone out and chill and let your mind go blank. But that's the illusion of happiness, and it will get you nowhere. Self-care, taking care of yourself, feeding yourself is part of the way. And I want to grow, and how I dedicate my time matters. The way, being followers of Jesus, calls us to something deeper and better and far more filling. It calls us to ways of habits and practices and skills that reflect our calling. That's what dedication looks like. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that this, we are all called to be dedicated. And I want you to know that being dedicated is a way that leads to fullness in life and true fulfillment and contentment. Being part of something bigger than yourself, like, say, the redemption and healing of all things, is kind of nice. It's kind of satisfying. And when you dedicate yourself to loving God and others above all, you will truly find your way in life. So who's dedicated? We are invited to be dedicated right alongside Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And as I ponder dedication, I realize that the biblical model of us being dedicated, called out, and set aside is for us to look at all those things in our lives, those habits, good and bad, those choices, good and bad, and ask, am I dedicated? Dedication, it's something done for us and something we decide. God has dedicated us. He's on our side. He's dedicated to us. He saves and heals and transforms. He set us aside. He's called us out. That's done for us. But we also need to be dedicated. Dedication is a decision. Decision isn't a wish or a whim or some little idea. It's a determined commitment to something we believe in. It's a path that you will not waver from. That's a decision. Dedication means that your yes is yes and your no is no. Dedication means that in relationships, you don't run when the going gets tough. You dig in and you find a way. Dedication means that you create new habits, habits that heal and magnify your ability to love God and others. Dedication means that you practice those things 10,000 times if you need to glorify God until you master them. I want to say this. Nothing you can say or do will make God love you more or less. That's already there. But I want you to understand that God's love, this isn't about finding God's love. This is about living into His love and appreciating His love. This is about accepting and understanding what He's done. And if you understand that, you will love the same things God loves and be dedicated to them. we've already been called for. We've already been dedicated. We've already been reached for. We need to reach back. Dedication is a decision to live into God's dedication. And it's an awesome journey that you are invited into. Who's dedicated?